This is David Shore for Corrupted Child Protective Services. Thanks for joining me again. Now, you probably heard about the WARN Act, W-A-R-N Act. You heard that Yellow Corporation is being sued by the Teamsters. Other companies are also going through the same thing, that they didn't give enough time, they didn't give the 60 days, or whatever it is in the state. You ever wonder what an actual letter looks like from the WARN Act? Let me get that back. Sorry about that, folks. This is it, and let me get it close enough to where you can see. Now, what this says, and I'm going to read it right from here, and it's dated July 31st, 2023. This letter, which I made several copies of, did not arrive until August the 12th, 12 days later. It reads, it says, R.E. WARN Act Notice. Dear employee, Yellow Corporation and its operating affiliates, YRC Incorporated, DBA YRC Freight, USF Holland, which I work for, LLC, New Penn Motor Express, LLC, and USF Redaway Incorporated, collectively referred to as the company, have made the difficult decision to shut down their regular operations on July 30th, 2023, permanently close and permanently lay off and consequently terminate the employment of employees at all of their locations. The shutdown. As such, you will be permanently laid off on July 30th, 2023, and your employment consequently terminated. The company submits this notice to you to satisfy any obligation that may exist under the Federal Workers Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act, Code 29, United States Code, Section 2101, ETSEQ, and applicable similar state laws, collectively the WARN Act. WARN Act is nothing more than the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act. The company does not admit that such laws apply or that notice is required. If no obligation exists, this notice is being provided to you voluntarily. Well, the one thing is they're an employer. They have to give 60 days notice under this. Well, let's go on. The company was not able to provide earlier notice of the shutdown as it qualifies under the unforeseeable business circumstances, faltering company, and liquidating fiduciary exception set forth in the WARN Act. The company expects all layoffs and location closures relating to the shutdown to be permanent. The company had hoped to complete one or more transactions and secure funds and business to prevent the closing of these locations, but was unable to do so. The circumstances were not reasonably foreseeable at the time. Notice would have otherwise been required, and notice is further excused because the business is being liquidated. At this time, the company anticipates that the employment of up to approximately 22,000 employees at locations across the company in the United States will be terminated. A job bumping system will not be available. That is, company employees will not be able to displace more junior employees out of their job positions because all applicable positions will be eliminated as a result of the shutdown. Furthermore, no other employment opportunities at other locations will be available. As a result of your loss of employment, you may be eligible to receive unemployment insurance benefits or other assistance with obtaining new employment from your applicable local or state Department of Labor, dislocated worker unit, or their workforce partners upon termination. Should you have any questions regarding this notice, please contact employee.questions@myyellow.com. The company is grateful for your service to the company and greatly appreciates your continued professionalism through this process. Sincerely, Yellow Corporation. I'd like to see and show you what kind of cowards they are. Look at the very bottom. Not signed. Nobody at Yellow Corporation wanted to have the courage to actually go, okay, I'll sign it. No, not even the CEO. That spineless twit. And there's other companies that are getting letters similar to this. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're one of those employees that got a letter that says unforeseeable. It was completely unforeseeable. Even though before that they were going, hey, I'm gonna buy this, I'm gonna buy that, I'm gonna take a big bonus. And then it was unforeseeable. There was nothing we can do. How many of you have children? How many of you know people with children? How many of you had to go home either through Yellow Corporation, Prime, or one of the others? See, Prime hasn't gone out of business yet. Tyson Foods just closed four other terminals. Maybe you're one of the employees that lost their jobs. Yet, we have a former president that approved $700 million to this company. This company approved it. Said, yeah, sure, I'll back them 100%. I believe that they're going to make it. Now, did he know? Or was it one of those that you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours? This was back in 2020. Well, if Yellow Corporation, who gave out these, if they knew that they were going to go bankrupt 3 years later, and they lied, then yes, I say go after them. How come the Department of Revenue didn't seize their assets? Freeze their bank accounts. Make sure they couldn't take any money leading up to this. If they owed the money, then why didn't they do something? Another thing I've kind of noticed, and it's been coming across YouTube. Oh, yeah. And it's, if I can find it now, but what it is that where are all the children? And what I mean by that is, where are all the children of Maui? Now, if Child Protection Services is supposed to be protecting the best interests of the children, then please someone explain this to me. Explain why there were 3,000 children, they say, on the island. 600 were either put in, registered in other schools, on other islands. 400, they said, and then 200 were homeschooled. Okay, that's only 600. Where are the other 2,400? Hey, Hawaii Child Protection Services, where are you on this? How come you're not pressuring the government over there? Hey, where are these kids? For that matter, why don't they interview parents over in Hawaii on the island of Maui and say, Where are your children? Are they here? Show that the kids are perfectly all right. In a day and age where movies like Sound of Freedom are vilified, but also that they will ignore these things. They will ignore, you know, why wasn't the sirens, you know, that's another one. What about the sirens about the fires, wildfires? That's a wildfires, when they start, they should have, you should be hearing that. They said nobody heard it. People died. People jumped into the ocean to avoid the flames. I believe I said this before. People that are there said it's a lot worse. Sorry, hit the wrong button. I'm going through this. If you've gone through this, and I can't find it. The actual video that shows, hey, the death toll was a lot higher. Thousands of people, not hundreds. People there are missing. People of Maui now are being silenced, I notice. The government over there is not saying anything. Isn't that real nice? Isn't it something about protecting human life? But hey, you got Bill Gates and Oprah Winfrey, who have billions, who buy up thousands of acres of land. And it depends on how you look, where you find it. Bill Gates, he pretty much bought up half the island of Maui. Why would you buy up half the island? And if you believe the conspiracy theories that a directed energy weapon, or a DEW, set the island on fire, or that cloud seeding that, I believe it's called silver nitrate, that seeded the whole area, and that when it got hot enough, it sparked, and that's what caused the fires. No matter how it started, what happened is men, women, and children lost their lives. Over what? Land? A land grab? I don't know where all the evidence is. Look at this. I can read this. 4 days ago, Hawaii fire death toll reaches 115. Maui school reopens as searches continue. Maui death toll continues to increase. That's 6 days ago. Death toll in Maui wildfires rise to 114 6 days ago. Death toll from Maui wildfire reaches 89, making it the deadliest in the U.S., 13 days ago, 6 days ago, too much to bear, incalculable emotional toll of Maui wildfires, the death toll rises. That's 6 days ago. 2 weeks ago, death toll from Maui wildfire rises to 67. Hawaii wildfire, more than 14,000 people relocated from Maui, death toll rises. Rises to 53. the latest on devastating Maui wildfires 5 days ago. Maui wildfires, that's what writes is in 93, 13 days ago. He keeps on saying 114. Now, this is 8 days ago. Maui wildfire news. Death toll from Hawaii wildfire crosses 100. More than 1,000 still missing. Some on the ground were saying that it was even higher than that. People were dying in the water. This, and of course, got those that are saying, oh, it's climate change. That's what did it. Okay, for those of you that have been watching me and believe the climate change. Okay, here in the United States, there's areas that have hit over 100 degrees. Here in Indiana, we've had 3 days where it was over 100 degrees. No fires. Illinois, same thing. Missouri, same thing. Kentucky, Tennessee. And one thing I should bring up, Hawaii is surrounded by water. Now, if it's surrounded by water, and I've never been there, but they say you can even smell the water in the air. So, if there's moisture in the air, if it is that hot, and it's been hot, there are times it has been hot like that in the past. Because I knew someone from Hawaii. It's supposed to be a nice, comfortable temperature. But sometimes they do get hot days. This is a question everyone should be asking, especially those that have families. How come if it got hot before and it never caught fire, all of a sudden this sets it off on an island? And the main reason why the head of this whatever agency, he said he didn't want to cause a panic where people would run into the fire. Let me repeat that. He did not sound the alarm because he did not want people to run into the fire. Okay. Either, as some conspiracy theorists would say, they set fires all around where the houses were. And so there would be no way for them to get out. Or maybe, just maybe, like some theories, he was going to profit off of this. Kind of sick, wouldn't you say? I really don't know his logic. He's resigned. He's no longer there. But the governor, I mean, they already got the kids back in school in Maui. Now, I want you to listen to that. The kids are back in school in Maui. The houses, on the other hand, have been destroyed. Oh, but, and this is a weird part. Let's say this is the fire. Let's say my cell phone is a mansion. According to some, one I actually know, this is what the fire did. Boing! I'm going to avoid this mansion. They have pictures of it online. Or they used to. I don't know if they do anymore. but don't you think that's kind of convenient? That, all the other houses got destroyed, but mansions, they're not even touched. You mean to tell me they made a deal with the fire? That, here, you burn anything else you want, but these properties, leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How many people think that's really stupid? So, what are you thinking? Here's a question we should ask. Was in destroyed by wild fires. Celeb house homes spared from Maui fires. Isn't this something? Okay, this is from 9 days ago. I want you to look very carefully at this picture. This has been one of many I've seen. That is in Maui. Can I notice even the grass? Really something how that fire, it hit all around. But not even the grass is burnt. And yet the other grass and stuff is burnt to a crisp. Wow. Boy, oh boy. They must have the greatest fireproofing in the history of fireproofing. I mean, come on. Three months ago, Army warning about green lasers over Oahu's South Shores. I hope I didn't butcher that. Wildfire threatens Hollywood icon havens. But here's something. For those of you that don't believe in God, explain that. That church wasn't even touched. Were those homes, those mansions and stuff, were they blessed by God? Was the flames, they deliberately avoided those that were blessed? It's questions you should be asking. Also, another question, even ask the Hawaiian government. Why did this even have to happen? Or is it just we're not supposed to be talking about it or anything? No, 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 no. Don't talk about it. No, 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 no. If you talk about it, we cannot have direct questions about this. Because if we do, we have no answers. Some would come out and say, no, no, we can't talk about this because then we have to admit that we're destroying the whole island so we can build this new smart island where it has no fossil fuels, electric vehicles, solar, wind. And yet, who's going to be able to afford to move to a place like that? You get this, you can move there. If you don't have that, screw you. And how many of us working or just lost our jobs are going to be able to afford to live in a high-tech city? And they're saying, come to a town near you. Yeah. What? Cities like Chicago and New York, Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, Houston, St. Louis, even good old South Bend, Indiana, where I'm at. Is that what it's going to be? Are we going to have these high-tech cities? Who's going to live it? Who's going to be able to afford it? We have a place called the Ivy. Have you ever been to South Bend? You know where it's at. It's right behind what I call Kovaleski Stadium. It's Four Winds Field now. Keeps on changing their name. But that's pretty much it. So, folks, isn't it something? They are trying to do this. Now, there used to be three tiers. Lower class, middle, and upper. We all grew up knowing there were three classes of people. The poor, middle class, and upper. Guess what they did with the middle class? Get rid of it. Now we got people way up here and the rest of us. Kind of notice the gap? And they're going to make sure, there are some who make sure that the people here will never be with the people way up here. You know, the ones that talk about all these grandiose ideas like electric vehicles. Yet you got Elon Musk stating that the power grid cannot sustain it, nor will he see recharging stations because it would collapse the power grid. They had hearings on electric semi-trucks. Semi-trucks, you would figure, ooh, cool. Let's see, I can actually pull up a picture of the truck that I want. Okay, I want you to see, this is a diesel-powered Volvo. Real nice, isn't it? They want to convert that to electric. Okay. And yeah, it'll pull 80,000 pounds. But there's a serious problem. Imagine, if you will, 10 of those. Just 10. 10 trucks like that. And they have to recharge those 10. Each state, like California, was asking, actually people from the power grid in Washington, D.C. They asked, are you kidding me? Because they said the country could not sustain, the power grid couldn't sustain that, couldn't sustain people charging their electric cars, their electric motorcycles, their electric lawnmowers, along with these semi trucks. And it all depends on how long the charge would take. With a semi truck, We could drive only a few hours and then we'd have to shut down and recharge. And a semi truck, a truck of that size, would have a lot of batteries, I'll just say that. Because without diesel fuel, right? Because they want to do away with diesel fuel. Without diesel fuel, I don't know how long that would take, but I think it's going to take longer than 10 hours because of the amount of batteries they would have to have. But here's the one for the environmentalists, the what they call eco nuts, who maybe you're watching this program. How are you going to power the power plants? We're going to get a Generac. You know, I decided to check that out. Generacs. What powers a? What powers a Generac generator? Our Generac home, and this is from Generac itself. You can go to the W here, Rob. I'll show you. Let's see if it'll show up. Home backup generator FAQs. Generac power systems. Go to www.generac.com. It says our Generac home backup generators are designed to run on one fuel source. They are factory set to run on natural gas. However, at the time of installation, your Generac can be reconfigured to run on liquid propane. How do they make natural gas? And how do they make liquid propane? Folks, why don't you look that up? And for that matter, let's do one other. How do they, sorry, folks, they make the batteries for electric cars? Let's just go with electric cars. Okay, the cathode is typically made from a mix of lithium, nickel, cobalt, and manganese, while the anode is mostly common made using graphite. Guess what they have to do? This is the way we dig the ground, dig the ground, dig the ground. This is the way we dig the ground to make the batteries. And you don't want to drill for oil, and I understand that. But the natural gas, where does that, how do you do that? Stop drilling! Stop drilling! Climate change! Okay, how do we get the power for the Generac? You've got to! Okay, we gotta drill. Kind of see the contradiction right there? We want a future for our kids, but we dug ourselves into a hole. We made things that work off of oil. I'll give you a good example. Here. Plastics. But I used to work at a plastics company, and there is oil in this. All of our vehicles are oil-based. Even electric vehicles, to make it, you have to have oil. Now, for the people in the UK, the Just Stop Oil people, There's a little something I've always wanted to say, and I'm going to say it right here. My parents, God rest their souls, but they told me something very interesting. It is something that they were taught. And I'm going to get a little closer so you just stop oil idiots who actually hear it. I guess your parents didn't teach you this, so it looks like I have to teach you. And you know what it is? If you stand in the middle of the road, or if you sit in the middle of the road, you're going to get run over. Now, you're saying, well, here in the UK, they can't do anything. Okay, my challenge to you is very simple. Come over to Chicago. Come over to New York. Come over to anywhere and try that. I'll guarantee you, your ass is going to get run over. Because I'll tell you right now, in this country, we got crazy-ass motherfuckers. They will run you over. Or if, you see, reason why you don't go to China is because they will lock your happy ass up. They will. You see, governments want you to be obedient. Government agencies threaten you, like Child Protection Services. Do as we say, or we're going to take your kids. Get rid of that guy, or we're taking your kids. Do as we say, or we're going to separate the entire family. How many people, and you may like him or you may not like him, Tucker Carlson. Before Tucker Carlson was saying those exact same things, yet they didn't take him off the air. In comes Joe Biden. Now, you could say, Joe Biden didn't have anything to do with that. But what if he did? Or what if somebody in there said, I don't like what Tucker Carlson is saying. Okay. Hi, Fox News, fire his ass. If you do not fire him, you're not going to get any more funding to keep running your program, keep running your network. I mean, he did come out one time, and as he did, Joe Biden did say that he said, if you do not fire the prosecutor, that prosecutor on his son's case, and this was when he was vice president, and I heard this, and it says, you're not going to get the $1 billion. And he says, son of a bitch, didn't they actually fired him and laughed about it. Now a guy reports that Joe Biden is pulling the exact same thing for funding for Ukraine. He says, you'll get the money for Maui, but also it has to be attached to, but money going to Ukraine also has to be attached. $200 billion, $200 billion going to Ukraine. Look at what's happening in New York. Look what's happening in Chicago. New York is evicting these immigrants out of the hotels, giving them 45 days. But it wasn't that real nice, giving them 45 days, and yet the people that were living there before, get out, get your shit, get out, now, get out. That's how they treated the people that were already there, who were homeless, especially veterans. They got booted out. Isn't that real nice? Folks, I gotta tell you. What if there was families? Wouldn't it be a kick in the ass that they were filming, it got out on the internet, and you see a woman with children? Or how about a woman that social services helped her to get into that hotel? You can go online. You can actually find this. That is, if it's still on there. And She came from an abusive relationship. Her husband did, her estranged significant other, I'll say, didn't know where this woman was. She gets booted out. She's on the air. Did the media not think this woman's being abused? Person's gonna find this woman? If she came from an abusive relationship and she's just trying to get her life back in order? This is the world we live in now, folks. This is anarchy and chaos. And there's not a damn thing we can do about it. Because those that are up here, right up here, we're right down here. And they don't care. Those up here do not care. Those down here, we fend for ourselves. And for those that would want to help, you heard, like in the Maui incident, people were sending money. Sending food supplies. Person driving up to give supplies to people was turned away by the police, by the military there. This came out of her mouth. You've noticed there are times I've been silent. And there's a reason. I don't know what the future holds. I don't have a crystal ball. I have to go out of town for a job. I have to work for myself and hope and pray that all this insanity will blow over and we'll see a new world whereby we can still, you know, direct our own steps. And not be at the mercy of the government. That we can make as much money as we want without having and you're being fined or taxed higher and higher and higher because you decide, no matter what color your skin is, they said, oh, you're making too much money. There's a family over here that's suffering. We're going to tax you so you can support them. How many of you see your taxes go up, but you don't see anything getting any better? And you wonder why. And you notice the ones, just look at the ones that are asking you to dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then when you want to assist, you got the authorities going, freeze! Turn back! But I'm trying to say, bam, bam! No move! Now that's an exaggeration, but I wonder if that's happening. Now, is it still happening? I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I check this every day. Kind of funny, isn't it? Things are very quiet. Because we've moved on. Now we got Trump. And you're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I want you to do this. I have a little something that I think you may not like. And it is, let me find it. Look this up. as soon as it comes up. Now you're probably wondering, what's Nixon v. Fitzgerald? The primary holding, which all these have primary holdings. The president has absolute immunity from liability for civil damages arising from any official action taken while in office. Now you're wondering if that goes for criminal. Well, I read it and it's part C of, let's see, A2. Petitioner, as a former president of the United States, is entitled to absolute immunity from damages liability predicted on his official acts. A, although there is no blanket recognition of absolute immunity for all federal executive officials from liability for civil damages resulting from constitutional violations, certain officials, such as judges and prosecutors, because of the special nature of their responsibilities, require absolute exemption from liability. Determination of the immunity of particular officials is guided by the Constitution, federal statutes, history, and public policy. Well, this is the first time a former president has been brought up on these charges. So this is going to be a good test of whether or not Nixon v. Fitzgerald will actually save Trump or hang him. The president's absolute immunity is a functionally mandated incident of his unique office rooted in the constitutional tradition of the separation of powers and supported by the nation's history. Because of the singular importance of the president's duties, diversion of his energies by concern with private lawsuits would raise unique risks to the effective functioning of government. While the separation of powers doctrine does not bar every exercise of jurisdiction over the president, a court, before exercising jurisdiction, must balance the constitutional weight of the interests to be served against the dangers of intrusion on the authority and functions of the executive branch. The exercise of jurisdiction is not warranted in the case of merely private suits for damages based on a president's official acts. The president, part C, the president's absolute immunity extends to all acts within the outer perimeter of his duties of office, i.e., what happened at the January 6th. A rule of absolute immunity for the president does not leave the nation without sufficient protection against his misconduct. There remains a constitutional remedy of impeachment, as well as the deterrent effects of constant scrutiny by the press and vigilant oversight by Congress. Other incentives to avoid misconduct may include a desire to earn re-election, the need to maintain prestige as an element of presidential influence, and a president's traditional concern for his historical stature. It was reversed and remanded. So, long story short, there are two routes this can take. And this is something to teach your kids. Since it's never been done before, if they invoke that, Nixon v. Fitzgerald, and they read the part that says that C2C that says the president's absolute immunity extends to all acts within the outer perimeter of his duties of office, and they successfully argue that, all four indictments will be gone. And this is something to teach your kids, that a federal official must be tried in federal court, not state. If it's a federal election, that would move it right up to the federal courts, not the state. Unless they can prove that he interfered in state elections. If he did, that's a different matter. So that's pretty much long short of it. So, folks, we've covered a lot of things. We've covered about Maui. We've covered the thing with Trump. We've covered pretty much that the government's not your friend, never has been, never will be. And it doesn't matter what politicians will tell you. They'll say anything to get elected or reelected. Do your homework. Everyone should have one of these, or a computer. Check the information. Also, go, if you know where your local politicians are, go to their offices. The federal politicians, they should have a local office there, or at least in your capital. See if you can get any information on them. See if you can ask questions. Because in the end, every election is always is supposed to be we the people. Remember when I wrote the when I read the preamble, we the people of the Constitution. Remember that? So folks, this is what I'm getting at. If we keep on going after somebody political who we do not agree with, right now is just the courts. What if the rumors are true, someone's trying to assassinate Donald Trump, or someone's trying to find a way in which to remove Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or anyone in Washington? Then where's the law in that? You really have to be asking these questions. Let's let true justice prevail. The Georgia one, they have 70 days. They want to do it in 2 months. Okay. That's within the 70 days of fast and speedy. And if you can, look that up. And it doesn't say anything about a court. You have to motion the court, but apparently you do. So, folks, your kids should be learning this, but also learn what the law is and what it is not. And it's not personal. It's one of those imperfect documents, but right now it's the only one we have. If you get rid of that, who's going to be in charge of what rights you have and what rights you don't have? Because it doesn't matter if it's a Donald Trump, a Joe Biden, a Chris Christie, a Mike Pence. If you don't have the Constitution, pretty much anyone could be, say, hey, guess what? I don't like you. Boom! I'm president. Who's going to argue? Real nice, huh? Bang, 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 bang. Unless, of course, that's the way people want things done. Then what might makes right? Who's right? Who's wrong? Do your homework. Hold these people accountable, no matter who they are. And if Donald Trump would lose to Joe Biden, then get rid of all these indictments and just have the two go at it again. And just tell those that are going, no, we got to go after him. It's like if Donald Trump's guilty of this, then people would say, well, Joe Biden's guilty of stealing the 2020 election, and Hillary Clinton says that Donald Trump's guilty. And as I leave, I want to bring this up about the 2016 election. Hillary Clinton did concede. She was not the one that started the investigation. Her loyal followers yelled, hollered, and screamed online, "Go after Trump. He stole it." Go ahead and check it. That is, if you can find anything like that. But if it is, that's true, then why is it okay that Hillary Clinton can say the election was stolen, but Donald Trump can't say that he can't? If he was tampering with the election, they have to prove it. But if they use Nixon v. Fitzgerald and use that C clause and it's successful, before too long, all the indictments will be gone. And any future indictments, all they have to say is Nixon v. Fitzgerald. We'll have to see what happens. But remember, the only ones that can put the person they want in the offices, it's you, or it's supposed to be. Let's hope that it is. This is David Shore for Corruption of Child Protective Services. Keep your head down. Keep moving forward. And may we all be blessed to get out of this mess and rebuild the world. I would say rebuild it to treat others the way we would want to be treated. And look how you're treating others. If you want them to treat you with respect and kindness, you have to do the same. Nobody else will do it.